your martial arts movie podcast.
Ha-ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
Yeah! Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your balls.
And now...
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
So, Zero, could you tell that this is directed by someone other than Jesse B. Johnson?
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
So directed by two people who look exactly the same.
And yeah, well, I think they're related, right? Their last names are Kirby, so they must be brothers.
Yeah, Kirby brothers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Anyways, awkward intro aside. Yeah, we're talking about Hitman Accident's Holiday or Hitman 2, whatever you want to call it.
Accident Man 2, Hitman's Holiday.
Yeah, let's just call it that, or Accident Man 2. Yeah, it's Scott Adkins' latest film. We're talking about it because it's a relatively new release. And I know it's been a couple weeks now, but yeah, great, pretty good experience, but, it's vastly different from the first movie, in my opinion. I don't know. Did you get that sense too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. A lot. And this came out last week apparently. So, it's still fairly new. At least that's what the release
weeks, months, yeah. Whatever, my sense of time.
Oh, in the US it came out on the 14th. I see. Okay.
Okay.
Saw the UK date. Anyway, yes, this is more lighthearted, thankfully, than the first one we just covered in the last episode, which is what I wanted. I remember watching the first movie and thinking, oh, this is a cool premise. It's fun that he's a hitman who makes his kills look like accidents, but the movie felt like it was taking itself too seriously. I mean, it was fine for what it was, but I wanted something a little more lighthearted, and the movie, the sequel, answered that for me. I'm glad all that drama that he was going through with his ex and losing his, his unborn child, that's all completely gone, because now it's just, hey, Scott Adkins in Malta killing iPod DJs.
Well, that's how we start the movie. I don't think the whole movie's about that. Actually,
it could be.
The story's way simpler than the first movie. Like, significantly simpler. He is tasked with protecting a major mob leader's son. Spoiled son. I don't know if you got the sense, got that sense when you're watching the movie, Zero, but he's pretty spoiled.
No.
Yeah, and you have to protect him. Otherwise, Scott Adkins' friend will die. And he basically has to fend off a bunch of assassins. As simple as that.
Yeah, very, very, very simple. I wasn't sure where the movie was going at first, because I don't remember watching the trailer for this, or remember that plot point in the trailer. But when the movie starts out, Scott Adkins is in Malta, as I mentioned earlier. One of the returning characters and cast members from the first movie, I think Finicky Fred, he is in Malta as well, looking for some girl he fell in love with on the internet. They run into each other, and it sparks their friendship again. Finicky Fred, I think his name is Finicky Fred.
Well, that's the character's name, but yes, it's Fred. Yes.
So Fred is known for coming up with these weird kill concoctions, and so he and Scott Adkins team up, and it's them just doing these like goofy experiments, trying to figure out different creative ways to create accidental kills. And I was like, hey, this is cool. I like this. This is fun. It's lighthearted, not taking itself seriously. But then you realize that the movie casts Scott Adkins, who is a martial arts actor, and you can't just have him do these goofy kills by, setting somebody on fire with a toaster oven. He needs to fight people. So what do? You send a whole shitload of hitmen after some some bratty spoiled kid, and there's where we have our physical conflict.
Yeah. And because of all that, it does make for a much simpler, lighthearted tone throughout the movie. It gets goofy at times, but that's ergo why it started this episode like this, because it does feel very different from a lot of standpoints from the first movie. Like, outside the fact that both of them are martial arts movies. You know, even the martial arts itself, like, I found, well, the action direction defined, I found it different. You know, it feels like subtly different. You know, like, it really, I feel like both movies are great in the action department, but this is the one where it's like, it's using much more different trickery or like camera tricks or, you know, to make it its own style versus the first one. I feel like this movie is a lot more flashy, if that's a good way to describe it. Yeah, it's flashier. It doesn't skimp out on the action. There's a lot of fighting in this movie, and there's no flashback scene that takes us away and introduces, reestablishes Scott Adkins and his father figure, who also appears in the movie.
Yep,
Ray Stevenson comes back. He comes back for like 3 scenes.
I feel like he might as well not have been in the movie.
Yeah, well, they needed a redemption, you know, like, they something to kind of redeem their falling out at the end of the first movie. Because the end of the first movie kind of leaves you with a bad taste in your mouth. I'm not going to spoil it, but yeah.
Does it?
Right?
I don't know.
Kind of.
See, that's kind of my problem with this movie and then the first movie. Like, it takes that whole story way too seriously. They keep on hammering home that Scott Adkins should feel bad for the events of the first movie, when I believe he was justified in what happened.
Yeah,
you know,
what he did to his father.
They put a hit out on his ex-girlfriend, who is also pregnant with his child, and he finds this out after she gets murdered by his fellow colleagues, and obviously he's going to kill them. He's going to kill everybody because he's been wronged. Perfectly understandable. Mm-hmm. But this movie keeps on saying that, oh, Scott Adkins, he's riddled with guilt because of what he did. And I don't think he should care, honestly. Like, I'm surprised that they're trying to go this route by adding sentimentality to something that I don't think is needed.
Right. Well, if you had a problem with that, this movie kind of completely bypasses all that. Like, you don't have to worry so much about, the seriousness of it. It's like, yeah, like, he still feels remorse for wronging his father figure, Big Ray in the movie, but he does kind of, it's not taken so seriously, you know. It's just like, and also we get a redemption at the end.
Well,
like,
I would say it's not taken so seriously until the end, and where kind of forced speech by Scott Adkins, expressing his regret and all that stuff. And I was like, oh man, where is this coming from? I thought this was a movie about, like, clowns with cinder blocks attached to poles. I don't know. It felt a little out of left field, but it's fine. It's there. I see what they're doing.
Right. I don't think you have to worry so much about the story for this movie. At least that way my viewing experience of the film was. I kind of just, like, turned my brain off after a certain point, because the story is really simple, and some of the characters, one character is insufferable, and you stay with the character for the entire film. So you just kind of, like, have to check out as you're just watching some padded out dialogue scenes before you get to the next fight scene, which, thankfully, there's a lot of fight scenes in the movie. Yeah, for the most part, it never feels like there's too much of a lull. There is one lull, but yeah, for the most part, it's like pretty, evenly paced.
I would agree with that. So this movie is stacked with lots of pretty good martial artists, some that I know of and some that I don't, but were pretty good on screen. Sarah Chang, we've never spoken about her before. By name, I don't know if you recall, we've watched one of her movies.
Which one?
Blood Hunters, The Rise of the Hybrids. I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember.
We were trying to find some martial arts horror movies. That is, I think it's like a Filipino martial arts movie. And it was pretty bad.
I don't remember this.
We were also very drunk, so...
As we always are.
But I have seen some of her stuff. I've always wanted to see her just be in, like, a bigger budget movie. And this is
there
it. I think she does a pretty good job here at showing off, like, her wushu kind of background. Like, because she is... she has a lot of the more visual flair compared to her counterparts, minus Andy Long, the famous Andy Long,
right?
Who is also one of the fight choreographers of this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're talking about Andreas Nguyen. Is that his name? Yeah. I don't know. He apparently goes by a couple of names. Yeah, Andy Long. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they're the same person, right? Because, yeah, and I'm...
Yeah, yeah, we're talking about the same person. Okay. Yeah, I think he goes by a different name on Instagram, too. But anyways, he was apparently the action director for Sanak.
Yeah, yeah.
Our Die Hard movie. Anyways, we have a lot of good... a lot of, like, new faces. I call it, like, new. I put that in quotes because, a lot of people, I don't think we've covered much on the show, but, like, I was actually kind of surprised because, we're talking about the first movie. Like, you had your Ray Park, Michael Scott Adkins, Jai White. Close enough. I mean, I made the same mistake on
last episode. Yeah, I think the wires in your brain just, like, malfunctioned for a second.
Just kind of crossed. We had some bigger names in the first movie, whereas this one, like, not so much. But I'm actually kind of surprised, the level of martial arts that we got in this film. But I think it's because we have younger performers, for the most part, right?
Well, I think that's what you need to do. I mean, we all know Scott Adkins is a very, very capable martial arts actor. But as with all things, he's getting older. So I think what you need to do is you need to start stacking your cast with, the up-and-comers, the people who are just really, really good and really, really capable, because your hero will shine if he has very difficult adversaries. Sure. It's not like the Steven Seagal movie where, like, he has to be the best and he has to look the best. And no one else.
Stuntable for every little motion.
Yeah, yeah. And, he can't look like he's getting beaten. Like, he needs to be, like, OP to the nth degree. And obviously, there's no tension there. There's nothing interesting happening if your hero is untouchable. So you got to give us good adversaries. And, yeah, this movie is rounding out our cast with very, very capable martial artists that look like they're giving Scott Adkins a run for his money.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, the standouts are definitely the fight with Andy Long, which we can talk about when we get to the action segment. But yeah, like, I don't think there are many fights in the movie that didn't really work for me. I mean, everything was pretty well done. It's just, with the exception of one where it just felt a little too long. I think you know which one I'm talking about. Like, yeah, it happens closer to the end. It's like, oh my God. This needs to end.
Are we talking about the clown fight?
Yes, that goes on way too long.
Yeah, well, that's intercut with a fight with Sarah Chang and then another hit person that comes to take him out. And yes, that fight does go on a little too long. It's not even a fight, in my opinion. Like, there's fighting in it. It's more how much physical pain can this character take, because that's actually an attribute of the character himself. And it loses my interest because he's not...
Oh, it just keeps going.
It just keeps going, and he's not really taking that pain. What it made me think of? It made me think of the Ong Bak fight, the fight that you didn't like, that I tried to kind of salvage, where... when Tony Jaa fights three fighters, in the ring, like, the last fighter is this just huge muscle-bound guy, and his only thing is he just, like, crushes you with furniture and he, like, kicks the shit out of you. And nobody likes that fight. I like it because I think it's an endurance of pain for both actors. Like, how much damage can Tony Jaa take and then the other actor as well? Because they're really hitting each other. They're really smashing furniture over each other. I feel like this clown fight is kind of doing something similar to that, but we know he's not really taking any damage, so I don't really care so much.
It's not nothing. It's very visually interesting after a certain point. It starts getting a little samey, and then it just goes on way too long. That's it. I get it. The gag is, like, he can't feel anything, but... I definitely think we should talk about more of that in the action segment, because, like, I can definitely go into more detail. But yeah, like, the point still stands. Like, it just goes on for way too long. But weirdly enough, it salvages itself with another fight scene immediately afterwards. And that one works. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you would think that right after an incredibly long fight scene, you'd be kind of sick and tired of, you know, watching more fighting. You need a little bit of a break. But no, this last fight scene works so freaking well. But yeah, we'll get into that. I think one thing I should note is, and this is my humblest opinion, I think what this movie does better than the first one, it can be better or worse, is that you don't have any attachment to any of these characters that go against Scott Atkins.
Oh, you mean the hitmen that are trying to kill the spoiled brat he's protecting?
Yeah. Like, you have no attachment to them. You don't get really much of a backstory. Nothing to really kind of attach yourself to, right? Versus the first one, you spend a lot of time with all those characters. You know, enough time, right? Well, like you set them up in the beginning, and then you have their fight scenes. You know, to kind of like indicate, okay, well, we have an establishment with these characters. Versus this movie, you meet Poco the Clown and you watch Poco the Clown die.
Yeah. They're very visual in their gimmick. I think it's smart that they did it that way. They did give each fighter kind of a gimmick, and that works because there's no time to establish these characters. We don't get these weird flashbacks of them flying into Malta and giving them like tiny little beats of a backstory. We get maybe a few lines of dialogue. We get an explanation of who they are, and then we get the solid visual to make them stand out, and that's all I could want, really.
Yeah. So it's good if you want. It's a bad thing if you didn't want more character, or like, if you have stronger characters, then it makes your hero's dilemma, which the first one he really did have a dilemma. It's like, you know, do I turn my back against everyone who I worked with just so I can get revenge? Whereas this movie, like, you don't have any of that. So like, you less motivation, I guess. He just has to go out and kill everybody. That's basically the whole point of this movie. But like, it works for this movie because it's just an excuse to have more fighting. and that works in that department.
Lots of fighting. Yeah, more accidents. This is a sequel in the truest sense. They up the ante with everything. Thankfully, they don't make it darker or more serious.
No, definitely not.
As I mentioned earlier. So it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Should we go into detail about the story? I mean, maybe not so much the story, but should we go into detail about the action now?
Sure. I mean, what else can we say without going into every little bit of it? Because there's quite a lot in this film, and a lot of it is action. So, okay, you guys can follow us on Patreon, and you'll be able to listen to the entire action segment that we have, where we break down every fight scene, and we might discuss more spoilers. I don't know. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're at the point where we give our recommendations, but there's a whole wealth of audio you would be listening to here if you follow us on Patreon. There you can listen to the entire episode, including an exclusive action breakdown of the fights in the movie. But you can still support us by liking us on all the things and watch this and other episodes on YouTube with visual cues to accompany our discussion. And now on to our final thoughts. But yeah, that's Accident Man 2.
Hitman's Holiday. Yay.
Yeah. I think we did a lot more complaining than I would have liked in the action segment. Because I generally just like this film.
I mean, it's fine. You know, we're just voicing our concerns and our opinions on things. That doesn't necessarily mean we hated it.
No, definitely not. Far from it, actually. You know, I think everything I've said in the action segment was far more of a nitpicky. Mm-hmm. Just to hear my honest, raw opinion on certain little things in the movie. But the movie's fine. Like, it's actually done really well. I think it it trumps the first movie in terms of action, and the first one had really good action too, but there's the action in this movie is, you know, like the choreography at least is much better than the first movie. Like, even though, you know, like, there's a lot of things I like from the first film, mm-hmm. but action wise they're separate films. Like, they feel very different.
You know, I mean, different directors. Tim Mann did work on this. He is credited as an additional fight choreographer, but in the first movie, he handled all of that. He was just the first.
Yeah. But But the story, that's something that you may or may not love. If you just want a simple story, then I think the second one does it better, because it doesn't take itself seriously in any ways, not really anyways. And it's a lot more straight to the point. Like, yeah. you're just like, okay, it really does feel like an excuse for the next fight scene. Yeah, right, whereas the first movie is like a murder mystery of sorts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know. What are your thoughts, Zero?
I mean, it was easy to sit through. I will say that I don't need to see this again. This feels like one of those movies where I enjoyed it. I liked the fights. Everything was perfectly fine. I have my little nitpicks. If you want to know exactly what those were, you know, you can listen to us on Patreon. But I don't need to. Yeah, it's like a one and done. Like, it was perfectly fine. You know, I kind of, you know, wipe, you know, dust my hands of it. And then just hope to see more. You know, hopefully we get another sequel for this. Hopefully it does well, because it, you know, it just elevates everything from the first movie. It removes the things I didn't like, and then it, I think I could say it improves on the choreography, because I really do like that two-on-one fight between Scott Adkins, Michael Jai White, and Ray Park. I like that one. Like that one a lot. I mean, easily the best fight in that movie.
In that movie.
And then, unfortunately, like, some of the camera work doesn't thrill me here. I went into detail in Patreon on that as well, because of all the post-processing that goes on with adjusting the frames and centering it, because I think the cameraman got a little too overzealous with some of his movements. But, you know, overall, very, 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 very good fights. The fight with Andy at the end, really, really good.
That's amazing, yeah.
But the way he is dispatched is fucking stupid. Whoever wrote that, fuck you, because no, don't do that in your movies. Don't, you know, let our heroes win because they triumph, because they're smarter, they're better, they learn something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We say this over and over and over again. Don't have them get taken out because of some, you know, like, outside forces, right?
Right. Yeah, because especially since the enemy at the end is so overpowered that you want the main character when, you know, using conventional means. He doesn't have to resort to anything else. But yeah, anyways, we saved that for the Patreon section. So, I think the film works better in some ways and not so well in other ways. So I think, you know, there's no real way for me to be like, oh, watch this. I think this is better than the first movie, definitively. I think both movies stand on their own.
Yeah.
But the real question is, do you have to watch the first one to enjoy this one? I kind of say yes.
So you told me that we needed to watch the first one before watching this one, because I never watched the first one. And then,
well, I mean, like, before we actually recorded.
Yeah. And then after watching this, like, I didn't need to see that first one, really, in terms of story, because they reference it enough to where, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I get it. Yeah, I get everything that I needed from the flashbacks and from exposition.
Yeah, well, with Ray's character constantly, well, like, his Scott Adkins' character being all bummed out about the events from the first movie, and they keep on referencing over and over.
Like,
without the context of the first movie, it's like, if you only watch the second one, you might be like, why is he so bummed out? Like, this doesn't make any sense. He's just being a little bit, like, it just feels like there's a lot of missing content.
Right.
I don't know. So far, the Accident Man series has been pretty consistent, so yeah, go check them out.
Don't hire sex offenders. Accident Man 3. No sex offenders. That should be the subtitle.